Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another GOG Cast. My name is Leah. I am your host. Here, episode number 82. Yep, we're at 82. And it's going to be a wonderful Monday evening, just before the debate. I don't know about everybody else, but I mean, I'm going to check that out afterwards and maybe turn it into a drinking game.
What debate? Oh, is it the Clinton versus...
Yeah, Trump versus Clinton. That should be interesting. Very interesting, but we're here to talk about video games.
How is Kat not a mod in the chat is what I want to know.
That's a good question. I don't know why she's not a mod. That's
Someone really... removed.
What? I see myself as a mod.
Oh, yeah. I guess Chatty's being a bitch. I'm sorry. Continue along.
This is what happens when you have a very loose podcast. It's all good. It's all fine. We're here to talk video games. I'm here with Miss Catherine Smith Debian. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. Now I'm starting to wonder if that sword next to my name is just an illusion.
It might be an illusion. I see it.
Like it's the Gaga good. Song. Just an illusion. Okay, never mind.
That song is good. Okay, I really
please.
Like it.
I mean, that's all we want.
More Gaga for everybody.
Yes, Gaga, yes.
Yes. The voice of God is actually on camera this
Hello.
Evening. Mr. Simon, how you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me, I guess.
While Catherine is
completely frozen. That's
I know,
amazing.
That's funny.
It's
totally
a cool
stuck.
Face too.
Totally stuck. For those of you listening, she's really frozen. Like she has a half smile, her eyes are half closed, and it's a little blurry.
That's the best.
I love it.
She's going to disconnect, and it's going to fuck up my overlay, and then everything's going to go to shit. So
that's okay.
There we go.
Unfrozen. And the other wonderful face you see on camera here today and joining with us.
I'm probably very confused at this point.
Yeah, very confused. Yeah. Is Nick, and he is developing the wonderful game In the Shadows. Nick, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so we ran into Nick and his awesome game at a Montreal Independent Game Festival 2 weekends ago. And we gave him the runner-up prize for art design because we were totally flabbergasted by all the awesomeness that he managed to create with light and pixel art, because that is hard and really gorgeous in his game. Nick, how did you get into making video games?
That's a really long story.
We're here. That's the point.
You want to keep it after the news or before the news?
No, let's do it now. I want to know a little bit about Nick before we get into the news. Get some context in here.
Oh, this game, I've been working on it for like 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
It's been on and off. There's been, I used to work in 3D animation for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like 13 years. And I decided, I've been wanting to make a video game for a long time. And, you know, with Unity and all the other engine, like it became easier than it used to. So I decided to try and I put everything I had into making this game.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's taking more time than I thought it would, but it's getting there.
Nice. It looks gorgeous.
Thank you.
So besides playing your own game, is there anything else you're playing at the moment?
Not so much, really.
Is it me again?
Nope.
It's Nick. Okay.
It's
everybody's
the Wi-Fi.
I just logged into my router to reboot the next time I block.
Hooray for the Wi-Fi. What is it with guests and Wi-Fi? It seems that we have a curse for some reason. It was Genevieve last time. And
It happens. Wait for him to jump back in there.
That's fine.
In my defense, mine is the wired internet that's shitting.
Is it? But you're wired and it's not working.
Yeah, no, it's just we are having issues with the router. Well, I don't know.
All right. Well, in the meantime, Kat, what are you playing?
Playing Forza Horizon 3.
Ah.
Lots of it. Very much lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely
I'm giggling.
Because now the overlay, it's just Leah's half face showing up. It's actually pretty funny. It's just hands. It's actually pretty good.
This is what happens.
Wait, can I switch it to three people? No, three doesn't work. I gotta switch it to two. Anyways.
This is technical difficulties in its finest. It's all good. We'll get Nick back.
That's fine.
Yeah, so I'm playing a lot of Forza Horizon 3. Mm-hmm. They changed the game a bit. Mm-hmm. At first, I thought it was really off-putting, but now I'm really digging it. So essentially, the gameplay is about the same. I mean, they already had the cars down, the roads, the how the car feels, how there's rolling weather, how the weather affects your car and your driving, and you know, you go from morning to night and then comes back again. But instead of having set competition where you have to win races, they set it up in a way that you're building a festival.
Okay.
So you're the festival boss, and your job is not to actually run the fucking thing because you're that much of a boss.
So you're the boss, but you're not running the festival?
No. Okay. Your job is basically, they call you the festival boss, but I think you're like the boss as in you're their PR bitch. Oh,
okay.
You drive around, you win races, you win championships, you win exhibition races. You do some quick PR stunts, like there's jumps everywhere, and there's like the bucket list challenges and everything. And when you, each time you complete something, you get fans. Every time you hit a milestone of fans, you expand your festival, which unlocks more bucket lists, more PR stunts, and more races, more routes for the races. So instead of like being like, all right, we're going to that town and there's going to be four races. Pick what kind of race. Do you want some rally? Do you want some old cars, new cars? Now it's just like you just go to a point and you figure out what you want to do. So far, I'm not garnering a lot of stars on the PR stunts because I like, when I'm exploring, I like to explore in a shitty car.
Okay.
I used to drive around in a 1963 they had, just an old Beetle that I would soup up a bit. I would drive around that. Now I'm driving in a BMW, the 300 Export. You know, the car that the door is like the whole front of the car that opens like this.
Nice.
Interesting.
It's a piece of shit, but it works great for exploring because it turns around on a dime, and so when you see an XP board or if you see like a secret, you can just kind of like as if I'm driving around in my Lambo that goes like up to like 300 km an hour, then it's just try to, you know, I see a board, I missed it, you just kind of like you stop and then you swerve and then you hit a tree and people cry
in your Lambo.
And my Lambo is totaled. But it's a video game, so it doesn't matter.
The day I can play a 1998 Toyota Corolla in a video game is the day that I'm going to buy that game. Because that was my first car, and I'm excited to try it again.
Okay, so well, they don't have a Corolla. A 1998... They have a Celica.
Celica's all right.
They have a Celica.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Do they have it in 3? I think they have it in 3. But in Forza 2, I had a Celica, and I won a lot of rally races with my souped up smile.
Okay.
Here's a question, Kat. A serious question. Yeah. Is my drivatar still driving around like an idiot?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I keep beating your ass in races.
All right, good.
Oh, we have a guest on the show.
Hey, Nick, you made it back.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I think my phone overheated or something.
Weird.
That could happen.
Did you update your iOS?
Yeah. No. Do you have that next, what was the one that was
Samsung
blowing up?
Galaxy or the Note?
Yeah. So
it's an old iPhone 5. I'm broke. I'm making video games, you know? I have an old iPhone.
But that one, that Samsung phone that keeps blowing up, like I was on an airplane because I was in Vegas twice, both airlines I went on. They actually told them, when we are in the air, do not turn on the Samsung Note 7 or whatever it is, nor charge it. Like, wow. They force people to not do that.
That's insane.
That's a thing. That's a thing now. Like, just so. Fire safety. Yeah.
Jeez. And they have a recall on it, and people don't want to send it back because they are that addicted to their phones.
Yeah, they're going to replace it for free, you know?
Yeah, they are.
They better.
But still. So, Nick, what games are you playing right now? Anything?
That's what we were saying, right? I don't play much video games these days. Like, I, since I've been making video games, I just don't have time. I like the kind of game I play usually, like I love building games, like City Skylines and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love those games. What else do I play? Recently, I've been playing a lot of Party Hard for some reason.
Party Hard? I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a video game where you're like a murderer and you have to kill all the people in this in a party.
Okay. All right.
It's a pixel art style game. It's pretty cool. Fun.
That's
it's really
cool.
Hard.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, Party Hard.
Party Hard. I love it. The name is awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. How about you, Simon? What have you been playing?
What do you think?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I've been I'm back in it, boys. I'm totally back. It's bad.
Back with a vengeance, they say.
Oh, it's it's an amazing expansion so far. I put my review online a couple of days ago, and it's just been, there's so much to do. There's so much fun. Found a great little guild, great little people, and I love playing my stuff. There's so much to do every day to log back in and do things. So it's, it's really fantastic. I'm having a good time. And I also started playing Destiny.
Oh.
To the great happiness of
Miss Alice,
of Alice, and of AB Blonde. Alicia is happy that I'm playing, but I'm not playing with with her on Xbox. But yeah, I'm having a good time, and I don't suck as much as I thought I would suck. Surprisingly, like I'm having a not bad time aiming with the controller. So we'll see. So far, I'm having a good time.
Perfect. Well,
Destiny, as far as shooters go, is the easiest I've played so far. Or the most noob-friendly.
It's totally the best team making a shooter game. It's the Bungie guys. They made Halo. What do you expect? They got it down pat.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
They got the science.
It's true.
The mad science. I haven't played a game in a week because life and work, and I was in Vegas. And yeah, and I didn't even gamble, guys. I didn't even gamble. What can you do? All right, let's jump into some news.
You should
have
gambled at least video game money so that you can get more money to buy more video games.
Yeah. No.
Or keep her money and buy more makeup.
Yeah, there you go. I ended up buying makeup. All right, let's get into some news for the week. Kat already talked a bit about Forza Horizon 3, which... It's not out yet, right? Or is it out now?
No, it's on Early Access.
Okay.
I had the... I write for a video game blog, Early Access, so I had it 5 days before the actual Early Access. Now it's in Early Access for people that pre-order the Ultimate Edition. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow it launches for everybody. Yeah, I was talking about it, like how it hits the milestone. Also, now you can play on PC.
Oh, yeah. So this has the Play Anywhere, which, or everywhere? Anywhere or everywhere?
Play the Xbox Play Anywhere. So you can, that means like Forza is on PC. Because yeah. Most people buy it for Xbox. So I installed it on my PC. I tested it. Works really well. But if you're if you love driving games and you've always been looking for a Forza-like game to play on PC, well, Forza Horizon 3. Just fair warning, Forza Horizon is an arcade game. It is. You can kind of like drive the cars in simulation, but the context of what you're doing, driving a bunch of cars around to build a festival that other people are building for you while all you do is driving a car around, is not realistic at all. It's not like Forza Motorsport where you're like on a race course and it's very realistic. It's an arcade game, but it's a great game. And great. I think the next Forza Motorsport will be Play Anywhere. So that means like it opens up for PC gamers a lot more.
Good.
It's a great, great, great racing franchise. Like I was late to that party because I was not an Xbox girl, and now I'm just like, man, Forza, that's where it's at.
So today also marks the anniversary of the 20th anniversary that the Nintendo 64 was released in North America.
And we're old.
And we're old. We're officially old.
Wait.
Nick, what?
20 years?
20th anniversary of the Nintendo 64.
But I remember buying mine. And I'm 29.
Yeah?
Yeah. when you weren't.
You didn't buy it on launch. Did
Maybe
you
didn't buy it on launch.
Console cycles used to be longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Nick, did you have a Nintendo 64?
Nope.
Nope. Did you play one at a friend's house?
I played Nintendo 64 like once, like in the 90s. Otherwise, it was PlayStation. All my friends at PlayStation.
Ah, yeah, there you go. What game? Do you remember what game it was that you got to try?
On the 64?
Yeah.
It was just Mario. Classic Mario.
The classic. classic. Kat, what's your favorite N64 game?
Do you need to ask? Ocarina of Time!
Second favorite N64 game?
Mario Kart.
There you go. Simon?
Ask me what my favorite Wii U games are. Come on.
All the Zeldas.
Simon, how about you?
Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, that's a great game.
The music was great, and everything about that game was fantastic. So I'm so excited for Yooka-Laylee.
So speaking of Zelda, I managed to find this really cool YouTube series called Boss Key, where the critic breaks down how the dungeons are made in the Zelda games, which is really awesome. Nick, is this something that you do, like, do you analyze to a point to figure out how they make games and how they set up boss dungeons and stuff?
I think I watched that video you're talking about.
It's good.
That was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's go check it out on YouTube. They've done so far one on Ocarina of Time, of course, Majora's Masks, Link's Awakening, Link to the Past, and the most recent was Oracle of Seasons/Ages. I found that on Kotaku because when I go when I travel, usually I don't turn on the TV in the hotel room. I usually just track stuff down on the internet to watch instead, as long as the Wi-Fi is decent in the hotel. And I ended up watching a lot of YouTube videos, and those one of them. So if you're curious about game development and how they design dungeons and puzzles and all that kind of stuff, you really need to go check that out.
It's really interesting because it's a lot harder than it seems when you're playing a video game. When you're playing a video game, you have no idea how hard it is to like build in Zelda, and they have like a really specific formula, and it works all the time.
Yeah, they've really got it down to a science, to a point where they were able to, especially with Oracle Seasons and Ages, which was actually developed by Capcom, but they had, the signature and sign off of Miyamoto, I can't even say anything anymore, Miyamoto. where they had that, they were able to take the formula and tell Capcom how to figure it out so that they could build the game. So that's pretty dope. And that's two games that are totally different. So pretty neat. Simon, I believe you have some news in the esports world to tell us about.
Yes. So the mainstream sport organizations are finally starting to understand that there might be some money to be made in esports. So the NBA team, the 76ers, bought the esports team Dignitas. So they bought the League of Legends teams, the Hearthstone, Overwatch, and CSGO teams, which is pretty much the whole organization. And they've also the smaller team called Apex, and they're just going to like merge them together and make one big organization. So, and this came as a shock, quote unquote, because you already have like Ricky Fox, who's owner of some football team or whatever, I don't remember. He has his own, he bought Echo Fox, which is an esport organization also. So, and Shaquille O'Neal has invested into NRG, the esports team. So I think a lot more of mainstream media is starting to buy into those esports teams because there's a lot of money to be made there. So that was awesome news. And esports news number two, which we broke out, Northern Arena, the cool Canadian made CSGO and Dota 2 event that was held, one of the finals was held in Fan Expo in September. There's going to be finals in November at the Bell Center.
So that's huge.
Pretty flipping fantastic. To have this big of an event hosted at the Bell Center, I don't know how they're going to like put it the setting, like how it's gonna be built, but like they're partnered with Evenko, with Bell, And I think Asus also is in there. A lot of other companies are there. So I'm really excited to see how it's going to turn out, which is amazing news for esports in Montreal and Quebec in general. So DreamHack this year, Northern Arena coming up also. I mean, we're getting big
Canadian
in Montreal.
Video Game Awards too.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting huge in Montreal when it comes to esports. So I'm really excited to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend there in November. So yeah, you should go jump on your tickets fast. I believe they are out.
They're going on sale this Friday.
This Friday. Okay. Yeah.
This Friday.
They range from $45 to $75. And we have a link on the site. You can go to girlsongames.ca to go check it out. They're going to have, you mentioned Counter-Strike, Dota 2.
Yep.
That's awesome. It. Awesome. That's going to be
Which are
really
like the two
cool.
main games after League of Legends.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the last little bit of news, TwitchCon is this weekend. Steph is going to be there. She's kind of on vacation, but if you see her, go say hi. Awesome. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty. I want to learn everything there is to know about In the Shadows. So, Nick, can you give us like the elevator pitch for those folks who haven't heard of the game yet and haven't had a chance to go check it out on the internet?
Yeah, it's a puzzle platformer. It's a game about shadow creatures that transform into different objects that you use to your advantage. Like I like to pitch it though, like it's about, you know, when you're a kid and you see shadows in your room and those shadows they look like monsters or whatever. The basic idea was from that concept where they transform into different things. So when they're in the light, or when they're in the light, they are in object form. When they are in the darkness, they just move around. They do their thing. So you have to arrange the lights with like their light cubes and their switches on the walls and stuff like that. And you arrange the stuff to figure out how to get out of that room and collect some stuff. Basically, that's what the game is about.
I think the coolest thing about the monsters is it's not that they're just bad guys. They're also a tool. You manage to create them when they hit the light, they become an asset for you. So trampolines is what I got to see in the demo, which is pretty awesome. Where did you come up with that idea?
There's a bunch of different monsters. They all give you a new mechanic to play with. There's the trampoline that lets you jump higher. There's a ladder that lets you go on platform you can't reach. There's a door that flips the world on itself and all the lights turn off. There's a key monster that lets you unlock doors. All the monsters, they change it to something different. And it's really about like fighting your fears, and I think the shadow is really like a symbol of that. Like the player is using the fear of the darkness to his advantage, and the game is about like that's the basic theme of the game.
Very cool. Now, Kat and I were drawn in from the pixel art, but you said you started as a 3D animator. How did you make that transition from going from 3D to were you doing realistic stuff before?
My background is really weird, I guess. I studied programming a long time ago, and I dropped out to learn 3D animation, and I worked in 3D animation for a long time, but then I programming was in me, and I always did more technical stuff in the studios, became technical director and stuff like that, more in the pipeline, like more in the background. But I did a lot of 3D too, and yeah, it was more not realistic. I did a lot of ads, like realistic stuff, but it was more like animation, 3D animation, like TV shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pixel art was, I don't know, I wanted to do that for a while, and I tried, and it felt good, and I liked what I was doing, so I just, that's what I did. I don't know.
Did you find it difficult working light in with pixel art and getting the animation down?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I like pixel art, but pixel art is really hard. And I used to work in 3D animation, like doing real stuff. In 3D, we cheat a lot. And I think that's what I do, I guess, because the game is actually 3D and everything is voxels and everything is relit in 3D inside the engine. So But that gave me a lot of flexibility to relight and color everything the way I wanted. That's why, like, there's a lot of place, you know, where people post like pixel art and stuff on the internet, and I don't post my stuff in those places because I feel it's not pixel art by the way people describe it, you know, but it looks like it.
Mm.
I feel like I'm a cheater.
Mm. Hey, that's it's not just, cheating.
If yeah, it works, it's not cheating.
It gives a very new kind of feel to the pixel art, I guess, because of the way it's relit and with the real-time shadows. Like, all the light in the game is real-time, so you can actually play with those. Like, when you move the light around, everything is real-time, so it gives a really, like, a pretty cool look, I guess, that I liked.
No, I think that's why it works so well, because I can't imagine sitting down and trying to figure out some of the shadows when I saw the lights moving and you saw the light bend. I can't imagine trying to figure that out in just like cute in squares.
Well, it was like, it worked with the theme too, because the theme is about shadow and light, and you know, it's kind of a cool twist on pixel art, I think. Everything kind of works together. And I like the fact that it looks like it's like old school, but it would have never been possible back then. Like it looks like 16-bit or something, we could say, but back in the day, it would have been impossible to do something like that.
Mm.
I like that.
So you're a one-man team building this game all by yourself?
Yeah, I do everything except the music. The music is my friend. He's based in London. He's doing the music for me.
Very cool.
Everything else, it's me.
Wow. And you've been doing for 2.5 years.
Yeah, on and off. There's been some time I didn't work much on it. I had to pay the bills and work. Otherwise, like for the past, like since October last year, it's been full time.
Wow. You had a Kickstarter?
Yeah, I had the Kickstarter in April. Just at the same time I was at PAX, I did PAX East. It was pretty cool. I did the Kickstarter at the same time, so it was pretty good timing. A lot of people saw the game and talked about it. Like, it was everywhere for one.
Awesome. We're taking questions in chat. If anybody has a question for Nick Cat, we've got two right off the bat.
Yep. So Sun Brozak wants to know, what's to know more about your experience for kickstarting the project? Like, I think a lot of people are really hit or miss. You said that PAX helped. Like, did you approach the Kickstarter with a bit of anxiety, wondering if you'd be able to fund it? Was it because do you think PAX made it so that you were able to fund it, or it was just your game's that good, so people pay for it?
Well, I think, like, I'm not really out there, you know. I have, like, I'm on Twitter and stuff like that, but I'm not really known. The game is not that known. And PAX, I think PAX helped a lot. And I kind of planned it that way. I knew I was going to be at PAX, so I started a week before. And it attracted a lot of people because at the same time, like, I announced the deal with PlayStation and Xbox to release the game on those consoles. Like, there was a bunch of news one after the other that I knew was coming. So it was a pretty good, like, if you do a Kickstarter, you have to plan it. You can't just do it and expect it to work, especially if you're not known like me. I was not many people heard about the game. And then I was in the papers in Montreal too, so that helped a lot. I was in the Journal Montréal.
Yeah,
I was like a front page of the 24 Hour.
Really?
Wow! Really? Yeah.
I avoid that paper like the plague, so I'm sorry. What was the context of the article?
Well, they were talking more about the fact that I lost my job like 3 years ago, and then I was working on the game and put everything I had. Like, I sold so many of my stuff just to be able to work on the game. So there was, like, they were more talking about me than the game itself, but it still attracted a lot of people to the Kickstarter. It was all at the same time. That one wasn't planned, and it was, like, pretty good.
That one was serendipitous.
Yeah, it was a good coincidence that someone wanted to make an article about me.
It's an interesting tale because a lot of people don't realize the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into game development, especially if you're a one-man show doing all the fun stuff yourself. It's a lot of work.
You have to do everything. Like that, I'm on, like one day I'm on, like when you do like the marketing part, like the Kickstarter and stuff like that, you go to events and stuff like that. You can't work on the game itself, and it's really distracting. You can't just go somewhere, like I go to Boston and do the PAX East. Like you can't just, you go home and right away you start working. Like you can't do that. You want to interact with people online and stuff like that. It's a lot of work. Man.
Did you know that prior to going in, or is that something you learned on the go?
You mean like going to events and stuff like that?
Yeah, like planning out first, knowing that you need to have a game plan behind your Kickstarter, and then also being organized enough so that you knew that this space of time, especially around PAX when the Kickstarter starts, is not game development time, it's brand building time.
Yeah. Well, I read a lot about other people's experience, like a lot of, like, these days, indeed, they tell their whole story on the internet, and there's a lot of stuff you can read, like good experience and bad experience, and you can just, like, figure out stuff by yourself, you know.
Is there anybody that you read that you'd recommend, like folks who are interested in starting their own Kickstarter or building their own game, that kind of thing, that they should go check out?
I don't have anyone in particular in mind, no.
So you must have been just like perusing the internet, checking out everything you could see, and just almost like own research to see how to go about the process. Very cool.
Anybody who searches a little bit about that, they can figure it out.
So, speaking of which, of working alone and doing everything, T-Violet would like to know if your next game, if you want to work on another game completely alone, or if you'd rather work on it as a team for your next project.
The next game, I would like to work with little team, like with other people. Like I have friends who want to work with me, and it would be fun to work with other people, because working alone sometimes you crazy. Like I have nobody to pitch my idea to, so I don't have back and forth, you know. With some of my friend, I talk about the game, but nobody's really in it, so it gets really hard sometimes when you're working at all.
Yeah.
Did you do you, oh sorry, go continue, Kat.
No. Well, it's just like when you work on a project, when you're too close to it, it gets really hard. And that's where that jumping ideas, bouncing ideas with somebody. So do you often take breaks from the game and just kind of like, all right, I need to take a day and not look at this so that I can come back with fresh eyes?
Yeah, I do. I go in the country.
That's a good idea.
I just take a couple of days off once in a while. Like every 2-3 weeks or something.
Smart, very smart.
Like I have to just not think about it at all.
Yeah. I had a question, Kat, and now I don't remember what it was.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I broke my girl. Simon, do you have a question for Nick?
I guess,
try to remember mine.
Yeah, I guess. Like you were speaking that you're coming from a 3D animation background, and Where did you find the inspiration for how the game looks? Like I know you were talking about like the concept behind of light and dark, and yes, it's pixel, but like why did you want to go in that direction specifically, and like play with the light effects? I think it's not very, it's quite hard. You said it yourself to go that path. Is it because you like how it looks, or is it because it's popular for indie games right now? Like what prompted that decision?
For the general pixel art look,
you yeah.
Mean? Well, it's a bunch of different things. I like pixel art. Like I was inspired by Fez a lot at the beginning, and I try to get away from it as much as I can now, because I want the games to stand out for
on its own.
But I like the 16x16 tile based pixel art. And but that's the thing, like back then when Fez was out, knowing that it was voxel based, I always wonder what it would shadow and everything, testing for fun, and I really liked the look, and that was the basis of that idea, and it grew. It's a bunch of different ideas that came together really nicely. like the puzzle about shadows. That was one idea, and then it's pixel art and it's really, and there's shadows and everything kind of worked together, so it grew from there. So and pixel art is less work than other form of graphic if you're making a video game, you know, if you're doing vector art or 3D, it's a lot more work.
Yeah, it's harder, I think, because it's so minimalist. Like, it's easy to think, oh, I got to look at something and recreate it. Well, pixel art is so stylized and so minimalist. I think it's potentially harder than many other types of art for video games.
Well, I don't know. It depends. To do really good, that's the thing. Like, I feel like I'm cheating because I'm relighting everything. And there's a lot of color correction and stuff like that I'm doing in real time. Because I look, like, sometimes I look at pixel artists who make incredible things with their palette. Like, the end result is just a still frame, and it's amazing. Mm. And I feel like I'm cheating a little bit. Because
don't feel like you're cheating. You use the best tools to make it work.
Pixel art can be hard, but I'm always like, that's the thing. That's how I make it happen. Like, mm-hmm. The game itself, I make shortcuts. I try to do something, and I'm trying to do it as fast as I can. So I'm doing what I can do with my own, like, I know my limits. That's the thing. Like, mm-hmm. I know what I can do, what I can't. Sometimes I try to push the limits a little bit, but I never go too far. And pixel art, that's the thing. Like, the 16x16 pixel art tile based game, it's fun to do too, because it's fun to have limits, you know, when you want to do something and you have unlimited possibilities, like, you can get lost. But if you limit yourself with pixel art, it gives you idea, like, you have to figure stuff out that because of those limits. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah. I totally get what you're talking about. Yeah. Catherine and I both come from art backgrounds, and I know that Simon works in the IT industry, and often, you know, it's those limits that really, like, foster the best inspiration of best creation, right? If you've got the sky is the limit, then you sit there and you're just like, now what?
How do I start?
If you know you have, yeah, and now if you've got restrictions, yeah, if you've got restrictions, then you know, okay, this is what I have to work with, what can I do? So.
And I put so many restrictions in the game, other than the pixel art, just in the mechanics and stuff like that, there's a bunch of rule that I put in place that I just can't get out. Like, I can't.
Have you boxed yourself in?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, sometimes it gives me ideas that I would have never had if I didn't put those limits in place.
Now, we met each other at the Montreal Independent Game Festival, and you talked about PAX, and what learnings do you take from events like that?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you look for when you're at a game like that, like, or an event like that? Like, obviously, it's also publicity and all that kind of stuff, and get people hands-on with the game, but is there certain learnings that you garner from, like, sitting there and watching people play your game at the same time?
Well, yeah, because that's the thing. Like, my friends try the game sometimes. Like, I have friends who come over and they try the game. We play test it, but it's totally different when it's some, like, people you don't know, and it's really stressful to see people, like, play the game in public like that. But I love that. I love that part. Like, when people enjoy the game and sometimes they find bugs and it's stressful, but when people enjoy it. I don't know how I can say, like, what I get in return is motivation, I think. Like, that's the biggest thing, because I see people really enjoying it, and I keep thinking, like, oh, I should make it even better. Like, oh, this part, like, this could be even better. So every time I'm going to events like that, it's just so much, it's really motivating to work harder on the game, actually. Mm-hmm.
I know myself, when I'm sitting there in front of people and I was playing your game, it was like, I knew I wanted to get into it, but I feel like I'm being watched, and that makes me stressful, even more so than when I'm playing on Twitch or something like that. And I don't care if I look like an idiot on Twitch, but more space with all those people, I'm like, I feel like I can't appreciate a game in the same sense, because I'm stressed out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different for the people. Sorry, can I go ahead?
No, no, go. Continue. I'll ask after.
I was going to say, for the people playing, I don't know what's the experience really, but at Montreal, it was pretty fun because there was actually kind of a lineup at some point, like people were waiting to play the game. And there's people who did really long plays. Like the demo is about like 35, 45 minutes, depending on who's playing, because it's puzzle and
yep.
Some people have more difficulty than others.
Leah loves puzzle. She's the best.
But it got like at the point where people were waiting to play. And I like that, but at the same time, I like people to play the games instead of just watching other play. Yeah, it was really fun at Montreal.
So you did feel a little buzz around your game when you were at the event.
Yeah, every time, like even like at PAX, it was bigger. Like it's a huge event at PAX at Boston in Boston, but it's the same feeling. It's really cool.
Should have had
two computers.
Did you have a lot of people come up to you at PAX, or?
Sorry.
Did you have a lot of people come up to play the game at PAX? Like, was there a lineup also as well?
There was people all the time. I had like two computers set up at PAX, and there was constantly people. Like I don't remember nobody being at the booth to play the game. Like there was people all the time. I was like a really good corner. Like it was like right at the corner in the alley. Like there was people walking by all the time. It was really cool.
Yeah, there's some pictures on your website. If you go to intheshadowsgame.com, you've got pictures from April 25th you put up at PAX, and you were on their Twitch stream. You show pictures of the booth, the venue in general. It looked like lots of fun. I really want to go next year.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I like making games. I like playing games, but I love being in that, like, I've never been at PAX just for the games, visit,
as an attendant?
To visit. Yeah, it was my first time to be there, and it was incredible. Like to be my game is at PAX. Like people are playing my game. It was just amazing feeling. Like not only to see other people's game, but that people play my game. That was really cool.
And you're making the game alone. Do you tackle these events alone? Like you go alone, you show up, you do your setup, and you pray to God that your demo works?
I was with my friend. He helped me out to set up. Like we had to rent a car and go there. It's a lot of work. Like there's a lot of hardware involved. You have to set up and everything the day before. Actually, I was late, so I set up in the morning. But it's it's a lot of work. You have to, I don't know, I'm doing a game alone, but there's always people helping me out with stuff around me.
Speaking of people helping you out, how do you find the indie games scene here in Montreal?
I'm not really involved in the scene. I know I'm starting to know more people. I had no background in games, so I knew nobody. Like last year, I knew nobody in games. And I'm starting to meet more people and stuff like that. And it, like, from what I can see, it's pretty active. Like there's so many stuff happening in indie game, like the developers, like getting together and stuff like that, doing playtesting. It's really active and it looks really fun. I'm just not like, I don't know. I feel I'm not ready to be involved too much in it yet. I want to work on my game. I'll be a game dev when I have the game done, you know?
Which is interesting that you say that, because a lot of companies seem to think the other way around. Like, they promote the game, but the game's not done, and it's been a couple of years.
But the game never makes it out.
Are you going to make the game or not?
I want the game to be finished. Like, I want people to see the game, you know? I don't want people to forever wait for the like this demo that I've been showing. Like I can't wait for people to play the whole game and to talk about the whole game. You know, once people play the whole game, and then I can talk with them about the whole game and not just this little part, because there's so much more than what people saw at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of people playing the game, when is the game due to be out?
It's planned for December. I don't know when exactly. I don't have a date yet. But it's planned for December. on Steam.
On Steam? And then consoles will be later, because you're going to like deliver this game and be like, I'm going to be a shut-in for another 6 months.
Well, I have to port the game to the consoles, and it's I already started, but I'm concentrating on the Steam release and working on like, I can't say much, but working on PlayStation and Xbox, it's a lot of work, a lot more than I thought.
Yeah, people think it's just like, oh, I'm just going to move the game over. No, they're different hardware. They do different things, got their own quirks and quarks.
They have their own dev kits, and you put your game in it, and you see what breaks, and then you fix it.
Yeah. is there any learnings that you'd like to pass on from this process that you've had so far, if you come across another indie developer or someone looking to get into games, especially yourself, not coming from that background?
There is a lot. You could write a book about that. I mean, there's so much stuff involved. Like you said, I started and I knew nothing. So it's like, that's the cool thing. Like, everything's possible. I learn everything by myself. Everything's possible for one person to learn by himself or self. But yeah, I couldn't probably write a book about that stuff. There's so much stuff to learn, like on the like marketing side and developing the game and resources and I don't know, so many aspects, you know.
Once you're done the game, are you going to take a break, or are you going to jump right into something else?
I can't wait to work on something else, actually. So I don't know. We'll see.
I really take a vacation first, maybe.
Yeah,
go down south.
I should
take a little break.
I keep myself from working on like, I already have ideas. Like, there's other projects I'm already thinking about, and I don't work on them. You know, I really want to, but I have to finish this one first. And we'll see. Like, there's a lot of stuff I want to do after that.
Awesome.
I just wish the game to be like successful enough that I can continue doing that. You know, I don't want to work for someone. I want to make another game. It's just so much fun.
Cool. Love it. Yeah. Being your own boss, being able to make the decisions, having creative control, all good things.
No.
Simon, do you have a last question before we start to close out the show?
No, I'm good.
You good? Miss Cat?
I'm good. I just want to play it.
Yeah, I know. I want to play it too. I know.
The main question, when is it out and when can we play it? That's the main question.
Why can we play it?
Yeah, well, sometime in December, so, you know.
Yeah. I'll give you guys some keys so you can actually play the whole demo this time.
Love it. Yeah, there we go. Like I said, I haven't played a game in a week, so let's do this. All right, Nick, thank you very much for joining us. Before we let you go and I do the normal conclusion thing, where can everybody check out your game and, you know, follow on Steam and all that jazz?
So you can, more information about the game is on the website on intheshadowsgame.com. Otherwise, I'm on Twitter. My Twitter is 6502B. That's my
Why
Twitter
6502B?
That's the old CPU from Atari 800.
Nice.
That's
like
it's the first computer I ever played with when I was a kid. It was actually an old computer when I started playing with it, but I always love those computers. I still have one at home. It's set up, you can just turn it on and it works.
Wow, that's great.
Otherwise, I'm on
I guess it's time to end it.
Not working for poor Nick there today.
No, well, you can see his Twitter like right there at the corner, right there in the corner.
Harbor Space Studios on.
And you're back,
guys.
And you're back. Start again.
I don't know what happened.
You were talking after Twitter. I think you said Color Space Studio on Facebook.
Yeah, facebook.com Color Space Studios. It's the official feed for the game and everything related to the company, which is just me.
Which is awesome. Yeah, pretty much you.
Love it.
It's like my professional side, and on Twitter it's more me.
Okay,
great. Love that. So to get we just in conclusion here, we want to thank Nick to fill you guys in on what's going on in GOG. Of course, we want to thank Fun.io, who does our hosting on the site. The stream schedule is up. There's got to be a little bit of a change, right, yes. Simon?
Yes, a little bit of a change. Tomorrow it is Catalyst playing Batman Telltale's Series 2, 2 out of 5. And then we have Destiny. Actually, Alice with Destiny on Wednesday. Thursday was planned for to be me, but it's actually going to be a skip day because Bianca on Friday. That doesn't change with Last of Us. And then we're going to have the wonderful Witchling who streamed for us a couple of weeks back. Now she's going to be back again for a Saturday afternoon stream at 1 p.m. She's going to be playing some Dark Souls 3.
That's really awesome. Yes. So that's all on the Twitch channel. On the website front, we've got some cool stuff along with that Northern Arena details at the Bell Center. Miss Steph is making this awesome roundup Halloween. Of Halloween stuff. So Halloween is coming. October 1st is real soon. So yeah, right now she's got Freaky Friday. Decorate your gaming room for Halloween. So that's awesome. We've also got photos from the Montreal Independent Game Festival and an interview with Zombie Grub live from DreamHack Austin. So yeah, you should all go check all those goodies out. Yeah, so thank you, Kat.
How can we
check you out?
I am CSDSBINS everywhere. I am on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr. And if you go on my Instagram, I was at the Biodome this weekend. It was nap time. So there's photos of the otters cuddling, sleeping in a ball. And there's the photo of one of the new Lynx kitten that ate half a pheasant and just kind of like rolled over and fell asleep in a food coma. So head to my Instagram for that ish. And then... yeah, other than that, I posted again on Twitter about the their good dogs Brent meme. Great dogs.
Love it. Love it.
Not great.
And Simon, how can everybody go find out about your shenanigans?
Wow. GOG Simon on Twitter. I'm never on Twitter. I don't even know why I say it. I'm on nothing. I'm not on social media. So just follow Girls and Games, guys. Just follow GOG.
You can track me down at Leah Jewer on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, follow all the GOG stuff. We're, of course, the Girls on Games on Twitter, the Girls on Games on Facebook, Girls on Games on Instagram and Snapchat. And then anything else you want to find is on girlsongames.ca. So that pretty much wraps up our show. I'm going to go watch this debate, and hopefully it's not too crazy. And then I'm going to play some games, and then I'm going to go to sleep. Sound good, right?
There's actually a warning not to play drinking games with the debate because people like healthcare professionals are actually worried about alcohol poisoning.
Oh, well, then there you go.
That much of a shit show!
It's a Monday, people. Why would you drink? Come on.
Why not? I'm a newfie. What do you expect? Yes. All right. I think it's time to end this show. Thank you, everybody. It's been wonderful. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Kat. Have a great week playing games. See you later.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah.